fighting for America.
Hamas is a ruthless terrorist organization. It wants to sacrifice its own people. It uses them as human shields. Israel is not obliged and is not going to let a terrorist organization fire at our cities, at our people.
Fighting for Idaho.
This all has to start with securing the border, not writing the president a blank check to keep doing what he's doing that's not working. Wouldn't it be good to actually allow the governors of those border states to be able to call the National Guard and to help secure the border?
Fighting for you.
She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy.
This is a family value show.
I'm just trying to add a little spice.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's something I'll never forget as long as I live.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Hope you're having a good drive in. Going to be another hot one today. You know, yesterday I was at the Fred Meyer. I know what you're saying, Kevin. Since you moved to Star, all of a sudden, you're going to the Fred Meyer as opposed to the Albertsons on 10 Mile. Yes, I know we keep track of these goofy details, but it was just so hot. And let me just say to the farmers, the ranchers, to people working construction, what a road construction in particular, what a thankless job. But for what it's worth, from your favorite pinkish, plump bell pepper shaped talk show host, I appreciate your work. Mike Tracy and I were talking off the air about actual work. And I mean, if you're working outside, man, big ups to you. Men, women, if you're trying to keep up with the kids, the children's, man, God bless you. Make sure you drink plenty of water, wear the sunscreen. You don't need me to tell you that, but I'm concerned because I look at the sun and wilt. Joining us now, a real American, Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council. Representative Ivory from Utah, good morning, sir.
Hey, Kevin, good to be with you. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody described as pinkish, plump, and bell-peppered shape, but I think I learned a little too much.
Well, that's what people here in Idaho get each and every morning, a little too much information.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
Well, sir, we take a look at the battle for the lands. We have some elected officials saying great. We have others saying not so well. How goes it?
You know, it's going very, very well. We've got six states now that are engaged in various legislative actions to work toward the transfer. This is a big effort, Kevin. You know, I mean, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. You know, Idaho, you've been 130 years in the making getting to this point, Utah 120 plus years, Nevada even more than that. This is a big issue. It's probably one of the biggest real estate transactions in the history of the world. And yet, it is the only solution big enough if we're going to pass on to our children the protection of liberty and property and self-governance, which is the only equation to get to peace and prosperity. So we can ignore it and say it's too hard. And, you know, Martin Luther King said the soft-minded man always fears change. He feels security in the status quo and has an almost morbid fear of the new. For him, the greatest pain is the pain of a new idea. But what's happening in Idaho and in Alaska and in Arizona and New Mexico, in fact, I'm in Texas right now, we've got eastern states coming on board to do resolutions supporting the transfer. But what's happening is as the people are hiring and inspiring and demanding of their leaders, whether in office or seeking office, demanding that they answer for why the federal government's not honored the same promise to Idaho, hearts and minds are changing.
Well, let's get back to this, Ken Ivory, here at 580KIDO. Are you worried about the concept of liberty, freedom, and self-determination being eroded with the expansion of the federal government, not only in lands, but in every other aspect of our life?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And so there's nothing more fundamental than property, right? Supreme Court Justice, early 1900s, George Sutherland, he's the only Supreme Court Justice from Utah, said man has three great rights, life, liberty, property. They're so interconnected as to be a single right, because if you give a man his life but take away his liberty, you take away all that makes life worth living. If you give him liberty but take away the property, which is the fruit and badge of his liberty, you still leave him a slave. And in the Western states, we really are enslaved. We're politically in the back of the bus. We're never going to compete in the halls of Congress because we've been restricted to this artificial political reservation. And it really is fundamental. So you get these galvanizing ideas like the lands issues, like the federal funding issues, and you start getting states working around these galvanizing issues, it really has a much bigger impact on the overall issues you're talking about that that get to liberty, property, self-determination on a whole number of fronts.
A very counter movement to the arrogance of the federal government just proclaiming massive amounts of lands national monuments, like what happened to your state in Utah with Clinton, and of course what we fear with the Boulder White Clouds here in Idaho.
Yeah, you know, the Grand Staircase Escalante that you're referring to with Clinton, their own reports, they had emails from Kathleen McGinty. She was the director of the Council of Environmental Quality for President Clinton. Her own emails were saying, this does not warrant designation. It doesn't meet the environmental impact statements. It would never pass. We've never done a monument of this size by simply presidential declaration. But it was done as a sop to a political base, knowing that he wasn't going to win Utah anyway. Didn't talk to a single Utahn before declaring the monument standing in Arizona. 3 days before the declaration of the monument, Utah Senator Bennett went to Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt and said, hey, we're hearing rumblings that something's up. Oh, no, don't worry about that. There's nothing going on. We'll talk next week. 3 days later, they designate the monument. That's what centralized management of our land looks like when you've got 530 members of Congress not from Idaho, when you've got unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy not from Idaho managing the lands, who don't know the geography, geology, landscape, climate, culture, industry. That's what management looks like. Instead of having those whose lives and livelihoods depend upon the land, who are responsible, responsive, managing the land. And that's what this is really about. And so people are getting that, Kevin. It's really exciting to see.
Ken, let's take a look at your website here, because I'm looking at it, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. And it's fascinating to see the map that you've put up here, and I'm trying to detail it to the folks. But you take a look at the situation, and it's like Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, all these other states that have, you know, limited federal government, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, and west of that, Montana, Utah, Wyoming. It's just such a different country.
It's amazing. In the 12 western states, excluding Hawaii, which is interesting, Hawaii got all of its land directly granted to the state at statehood in 1959. With the exclusion of Hawaii, the federal government controls 1 out of every 2 acres in the western United States. We're not a self-governing state. We don't have a Republican form of government. We don't have those guarantees from the Constitution. We've been limited politically that we'll never compete in the halls of Congress with Ohio, that's a fraction of the size of Idaho. We've simply been prevented from doing that, no matter what the choices that people in Idaho may make. And so, you know, it's time that the federal government realized that, you know, equal footing was part of our Enabling Act. That was a promise that was exacted of every state being brought into the Union from Ohio forward. And in fact, Kevin, what's really fascinating on that map, when you think the federal government controls less than 5% of the states of the land in the states east of Colorado, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, even Florida, were as much as 90% federally controlled for decades. They were making the same arguments we're making today. We can't educate our kids, you're controlling our land. We can't grow our economy, you're controlling our land. You're controlling all of our resources. We can't grow our economy, people are leaving our state for jobs. Same exact arguments. In fact, the historical documents are on that website. And yet they banded together. It took them 20 years. They banded together. They didn't have cell phones and trains and planes and Facebook. They banded together and compelled Congress to transfer the land. It's already been done.
Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council. Can we get our lands back? Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. But, you know, again, going back to your website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, and Utah, Nevada, Idaho, boy, I feel sorry for Alaska, all controlled by the feds. Is this just an acquiescence to the environmental wackos that the feds come in and just claim the territory? Why would they do it?
You know, there's a lot of reasons. In fact, I was just reading from 1803, St. George Tucker was talking about the land. I was reading that this morning, talking about the lands, and he was talking about these western lands, and people made the argument even back then, hey, maybe we should bank this land as a resource. It's just as good as having bullion in the bank. Well, I think originally the idea came that, you know, your land is arid. It may be tougher to dispose. Dispose is a bigger category than sell. Dispose means get rid of title. But they said, you know, it's arid. It's going to be a little harder to dispose. By 1932, the states had all come together and pushed and said, you've got to dispose of our land. Congress held congressional hearings granting remaining unreserved public lands to the states. But the agencies step in, the federal agencies step in and say, okay, we're going to give you all the land. We know it's a great national trust. We're, you know, the federal government's only a trustee of these lands since 1780. We're going to give you all the surface land. We're just going to keep all the minerals. Can you imagine, right? And so the Western states said, the heck you will. You got to keep the whole promise. You can't give us the skin of a squeezed lemon, Utah's governor, Democrat governor, said at the time. You've got to keep the whole promise. And so then they enacted the Taylor Grazing Act, which is the act that gave birth to the BLM. Very first line, Kevin, get this. Very first line of the Taylor Grazing Act says, in order to promote the highest use of the public lands, pending its final disposal. You see, that was the promise from 1780 all the way forward until Congress in 1976 said, hey, we have a new policy now. We're just going to keep these lands, and we're going to give you payment in lieu of the taxes you would get if we kept our original promise.
Ken, who's leading the charge in Congress to help out the West?
Well, there are a number of people beginning to look at it and stepping up. Your Congressman Labrador has been we've had some conversations with him. We need to dial in with him some more. Senator Mike Lee. We've got folks in Nevada, Congressman Amade, folks in Arizona, Paul Gosar and others. We've even got folks east of Colorado, which is where I really think we need to go. But we're starting to really mobilize on that. We started out, you know, the way to get there is education, negotiation, legislation, and litigation. Utah's appropriated $2 million to build the litigation effort as well. That education effort is starting very well at the state. Still a lot of work to do. Now we're starting to work toward Congress and having hearings and symposia and legal events and conferences in Washington where we're starting to get that effort out. Now we've got to start the lobbying effort on D.C. That's the very next step.
Now, we talk a lot, and I happened to be, I think, in Salt Lake City at the time when you had your big conference with state legislators. You had Speaker Betke. Has that progressed at all from the meeting of folks from all over the West?
Yes. We're going to have some follow-up meetings, in fact, in Alaska next week and the following week. We'll be meeting in Alaska at the Council of State Governments. Doing some follow-up meetings there. And then we'll probably be having some follow-up conferences like the one that we had in April, probably around October is my guess, to start laying out the process of how do we work together to develop the education plan, to develop the negotiation plan, and move forward on the next steps of legislation. And then critically, litigation. I mean, we don't have the luxury of time, I don't think. People are so frustrated, as you know, Kevin, around the West. People are so frustrated that, I mean, consider the Nevada situation, right? Whether or not that rancher owes the fee, I don't care if he owes it or he doesn't owe it, set that aside. You had a federal agency come in with 200 men armed with machine guns and grenade launchers and tear gas and attack dogs and tasers to collect the fee, even if you assume that he owes the fee. That's unheard of.
Well, it was a miracle that no one was shot or killed.
Well, indeed, but that frustration is endemic. People are losing. In Utah, grazing has gone from 5.5 million to 1.2 million in the last 30 years. That's people's lives and livelihoods going away. We see that in timber industry. We see that with these waters of the U.S. types of things. Our way of life is really being threatened, and more than just the way of life, environmentally. These one-size-fails-all federal policies are destroying our forests. Our children may never know what forests look like because we're burning about 10 million acres a year, and it's going to take decades and decades for those to regenerate, and along with them, the wildlife that it's being burned in the millions, the habitat burned in the millions of acres, and the watershed being destroyed for decades. So these are issues that we're not going to have the luxury of sitting back and saying, God, I sure wish we'd have done something, because then we're going to have to live with that for decades. There's an environmental and an economic urgency that really, if we don't act, we're going to answer to future generations. Senator Mike Lee says that every time I talk to him. He says, I'm just haunted by the fact that we are going to answer to our children if we don't take control of this environmental and economic situation where we get back to liberty, property, self-governance.
More coming up with our great friend, State Representative Ken Ivory of the American Lands Council. Of course, he's a state representative in Utah. Do appreciate his time today. More coming up. If you have a question on what we can do in Idaho, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is 820. Let's get you to work.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. But don't fence me in.
When you've got unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy not from Idaho managing the lands who don't know the geography, geology, landscape, climate, culture, industry, then that's what this is really about.
Must Hear Radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Don't fence me in. Just turn me loose.
Well, that's the goal. Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council, 580 KIDO. Ken, let's take a look at the ranchers, the farmers, the people that are the backbone, not only of the West, but of the country. What does this mean when the feds tell them where they can graze, where they can't? We had a chance to take the show to the Bundy Ranch. You talked about it last segment. But for people in Idaho that are worried about passing on the family farm or grazing, could they become an endangered species?
Well, it's happening. You know, like I mentioned in Utah, grazing AUMs, animal unit months, have gone from 5.5 million to 1.2 million in the last 30 years just in Utah. I don't know the numbers for Idaho, but my guess is they're very similar. I'm hearing the same stories all around the West. Well, what does that mean? That means less food production. It means less tax revenue for the schools and for the communities. But it also means more of that grass just growing on the rangeland and becoming fuel. And the same situation in the forest, right? So there was one of your good commissioners, I think from Lemhi, Idaho, that said, you know, imagine you've got a pen that holds 50 head of cows, and you've got food and water for 50 head of cows. But you get this great idea and say, you know what, let's put 1,000 head of cows in there, and we'll just see what happens. Well, anybody with a lick of sense knows they're going to get sick and they're going to die. That's what's happening in our forests. We used to get paid. We used to get paid where timber companies would pay to go in and thin that forest, to tend that garden, if you will, and they'd have very systematic and specific instructions of, you know, you thin to this ratio in these areas on this time. And we get paid to thin the garden. Well, now we've got, you know, thousands of 1,000 trees per acre, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 trees per acre. They all are like straws in the ground, sucking up the same amount of water, fighting over the same nutrients, the same sunlight. They're just like those 1,000 cows in a pen for 50 cows. They're getting sick and they're dying. Beetle kill all across the West. And it's devastating, destroying our forests. In fact, there was an article a couple of weeks ago that said, if only Smokey Bear had grown up learning Indian lore. Because down in Arizona, you had the Apache Sitgraves National Forest right next to the Apache Reservation managed forest. The fire started right on the line, burned 500,000 acres of the national forest, barely touched the reservation forest because they use traditional forest management practices, they're saying, where they harvest trees, they utilize the timber, they take out the understory, and you're not having crown fires and catastrophic fires that are devastating, wiping out, killing millions of animals and decimating the forest for generations. I mean, this is not rocket science stuff. People on the ground that know the land, whose lives and livelihoods depend upon it, they're more responsive, they're more responsible. That's all we're talking about is certainly we're grown up enough as states to govern ourselves. We don't need the overarching superintending hand of those east of Colorado who know nothing of the geography, geology, culture to control our land policy for us.
Well, the battle continues. Anything we should be looking out for?
Well, what we look out for in the next session, we need people to mobilize to their elected representatives at every level and hire and inspire leaders to understand that, look, with $150 trillion in mineral value locked up in the western states, with forests being burned to the ground, killing millions of animals, with access being shut off every time they roll out a new federal plan, access is being shut off for hunting and fishing, grazing, as you mentioned, this is the only solution big enough, and it's fundamentally based in the constitutional equation, liberty, property, self-governance. So we need to give courage to our leaders, courage to your governor, your attorney general. Tell them this is the only solution big enough. We need you to battle for this solution, just like Thomas Hart Benton, that Democratic senator in Missouri, did in the 1840s and 50s, rallied all the states together, and they've already done this. So it's already been done. Promises are the same. Only solution big enough. We've got to get on American Lands Council, share the information there, get to your leaders, give them the courage to get it done.
Ken Ivory, the next time you're in country, you come up here sometimes. We'd love to have you come in studio the next time you're making an appearance here in Idaho. Just an open invitation.
I appreciate that, Kevin. I'd be honored to do that. Love your state. It is so absolutely beautiful.
Have a good one, sir.
Thanks.
All right, our friend Ken Ivory, state representative from Utah. AmericanLandsCouncil.org would love to hear from you. Your thoughts on, well, we know the West should get their lands, but can we? We'll talk about that. Plus, your calls next at 580-KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, how do you like that? Illegal immigrants protesting the White House. The government now says they can't arrest them because they only handle the serious, bad illegal immigrants. ICE won't be called unless the illegals really cause a problem. Well, if you're here illegally, it's kind of like speeding, right? So could you use that defense when the Idaho State Police pull you over? Before we get to Simon Owen in Russia, or actually London, to talk about Russia at 580KIDO, it's Tea Party Bob.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream.
I can tell. I'm listening to you all morning this morning. I actually get up at 5. But I wanted to take a moment to reflect on Mike Tracy's comments. I thoroughly enjoy listening to Mike's commentary. But Mike is basically a dyed-in-the-wool establishment Republican. You know, his salient points this morning are well taken, and anyone who's worked with Butch Otter for as long as he has should have a favorable bias at whatever Butch does.
I'm surprised you didn't call in when he was on.
Well, you know, I was going to do that, and I had to listen. I wanted to listen to what he actually had to say through the whole thing. You know, you don't want to take just a piece of somebody's conversation. You like to hear the whole thing before you actually go out and comment. You know, the governor has basically been a true conservative for most of his political life. Mike fails to mention the fact, you know, that Butch brought 36% of Idaho's budget in from the federal government, that he allowed the state health care exchange to come in, and that he's a strong supporter of Common Core. He also failed to mention that Idaho's slowly becoming the Mississippi of the Northwest. Look at the economic numbers. 8 years before Otter was elected, GDP 17-18%. Butch takes over, it's around 6%. Highest percentage of minimum wage jobs in the country.
I really think you should have called when Mike was on.
Well, I'm going to have an opportunity to talk with him. But basically, I think he's nothing more. You know, he's a full-service media guy and a veteran and truly, you know, a public servant. But I think he's a public relations pimp for Governor Otter and the establishment.
Well, I really think that it's not fair to him that you're calling it right now about him. You really need to call, and you don't back down from anybody.
No, I know, but
you
I want to hear
called
what he's
when, yeah, but you should have called when he was on. That was like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, I know, and it's the first time he's actually talked about Butch in this
line. He was excited about A.J. Balukoff, about Balukoff coming out as
yesterday.
A lib.
Yeah, we met with him yesterday. So.
Well, for all those people keeping score at home, well, thank you for that information.
And thanks for having Ivory on. I think he's a great guy, and he's talking about getting our lands back. And that's another thing the governor is not doing. He says good luck on that.
My goodness. Well, I love you, Tea Party Bob.
I love you too, Kevin. You just keep going out there. I love what you're doing on this show.
Well, we love you in a heterosexually appropriate way.
There you go. Don't want to get any of that gay stuff here.
Goodbye, Tea Party Bob.
Have a good day.
Thank you. All right, there we have it. Boy, how do we follow that up? Simon Owen joining us now here at 580KIDO from London. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Kevin.
You never know what you're going to hear on the Miller program. You know, it's kind of as ridiculous as Putin with all his problems suing McDonald's.
Yes, this is an attempt by, or an action brought by Russia's consumer watchdog, which says it has uncovered a number of safety violations in McDonald's restaurants in Russia, and also accusing the restaurant of deceiving customers about nutritional information on certain parts of its menu. They've listed a number of cheeseburgers, milkshakes, chicken burgers, fillet of fish on this action, not Big Macs, notably. So it's only parts of the menu, but they are now threatening to ban these certain products. Now, McDonald's has rejected these allegations. It says it always works within Russian rules. And I think there's possibly an argument that this may be a victim of Russia cracking down on America, if you like, by going after an iconic American brand that is easy to see on the streets of Moscow. And this is one way of hitting back at the U.S. with relations at such a low point.
Well, you would think that Putin and the Russians would have more things to worry about, you know, the plane, the sanctions. And as Simon, you just pointed out here at 580KIDO, you think this just is one of those shots back at the West, this lawsuit?
Well, I mean, the only reason we can say that that is possible is because often we've seen in the past when diplomatic ties have tumbled and fallen apart, Russia has responded by taking action in the food market. You know, we've seen it recently in Ukraine and Moldova, which have both just signed sizable trade deals with the European Union, very much tilting those countries westwards away from Russia. And as soon as those deals were done, Russia banned imports of Ukrainian potatoes, Ukrainian dairy products, and it's also just banned meat from Moldova. So, you know, when things are on the rocks, it does seem to have form for responding by going after some kind of import deal or some kind of food stuff. And obviously McDonald's is such an iconic American brand that it maybe would be an easy target. But the Russians insist that these are genuine violations they've found and that it's right that they pursue them.
You know, it's interesting, just looking at this published report when we're talking about the sanctions back and forth, apparently now, according to McClatchy newspapers, U.S. sales to Russia have only risen since the sanctions have been imposed. You wonder if that's just having a boomerang effect.
Well, I mean, I think sanctions so far haven't really done much in terms of damaging Russia's economy, if that is the intention of them. They've been very targeted. They've been going after individuals and a few sort of particular companies, but it's not been going wider than that. Now, we do think that's going to change, possibly in a matter of hours. The European Union is said to be prepping some pretty serious sanctions that would go after Russia's energy sector, defense sector, and financial sector, if not all three, then at least part of that. And that would be a big step up, because then America can follow with similar sanctions, and then these two will be acting in concert. Europe has been reluctant to go this far in the past because Europe has so much closer ties. You know, there's something like 10 times the trade goes between the EU and Russia as it does between the US and Russia. So it's a big deal for Europe to take this next step. But I think if it goes ahead, which we expect it to soon, then this is where you can start to look at the economic impact on Russia. Whereas sales for the previous rounds of sanctions, they've been so narrow that I don't think you would expect to really be able to draw anything from those.
Simon, as the sanctions kick in and perhaps more escalation, any thought from your sources in Europe or in England about the proposal that some lawmakers here have said, why not bring back the European the European Missile Defense Shield there?
I think it'll be raised by some, but it's not what they're thinking about particularly at the moment. I don't think they see this as being that kind of danger right now. There will be some who will be calling for it to come back, but those calls will never really have gone away.
Simon, we always appreciate it. You stay out of trouble.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Simon Owen joining us live from London, exclusively here at 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580KIDO. Now, if you're a parent, if you're a boss, heck, if you're anybody seemingly not involved in government, you've got to play by the rules, do you not? Look, you go to work, you have the handbook. Is there anything more depressing than reading the employee handbook? And you know there's people at your work that actually memorize the employee handbook, that circle items, and then when HR has an issue, well, they go, no, according to page 16, item 2, you can't do that. And I take a look at our laws today. Have we really just become one big giant employee handbook when it comes to laws? I mean, the idea that this ridiculous story out of Washington. Why do we have laws anymore, folks? if we're not going to enforce them? How many times have we heard, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, we need immigration reform and the American people are demanding immigration reform? By the way, according to a new latest Gallup poll, and if it's in it's a poll, it must be true, over 70%. That's right. 70% of Americans want the illegals gone, deported. Well, we can't do that. We're a compassionate country. Look, I know in Idaho, we love religion. We love our faith. But that doesn't mean that we turn our backs on the law. And we take a look at the civil rights movement and how it's been usurped. When we take a look at comparing minority rights, voting rights, to what is being happening now when we're talking culture and the gay and the lesbian and the transgendered rights, are we going to have people start saying under human rights that the illegals have a right to be here in this country? It's inhumane for us to send them back to their legal home. I could hear the argument right now. I could hear it. I mean, Hillary Clinton saying, send the planes in. Let's recruit these people. The inn is full here. And the most ridiculous item today, I'm looking at it right now here, is that you have folks that are in the country illegally protesting the White House, and no one's arresting them. That's right. ICE has said that unless you're a quote-unquote dangerous criminal, we're not going to deport you. No wonder Putin's suing McDonald's. No wonder the rest of the world just doesn't take us seriously. Could you imagine going to the head place in China, the Red Square, and protesting? Going down to Mexico. No fun in a Mexican prison, whether you're a native person or a foreigner. I've seen that. I've seen those stories. What is it? Naked and Afraid? No, that's something else. What's that? I was in prison. I almost got away with it. We've seen that locked up abroad. That is no fun. So here we have people at lunchtime in Washington, D.C., our nation's pristine, beautiful capital, having the chutzpah to protest and they could be deported, but we're not going to deport them. How sane is that? Ricky, good morning. You're with Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Hello, Ricky.
Yes, hi. Who was the gentleman speaking negative about the gays just a moment ago, a guy named Bob?
That was Tea Party Bob.
Yeah. You do have gay listeners, Kevin, and that's very offensive the way that he was talking.
Well, and let me put it to you this way.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you?
I'm going to say, and I thought about that, and I let that go. And let me apologize to you, Ricky.
Uh-huh.
Are you a gay listener?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well then, you and I may agree or disagree, but my goal is not to offend you. So let me apologize for me, and I'm being sincere here, for being insensitive to you.
Is that sarcastic or?
I'm not being sarcastic. No, I'm not. I'm not being sarcastic. I look, whether we agree or disagree, we live in a different world, and to sit there and say that's offensive. So I do apologize to you. I'm here to have a conversation, and when people vilify me, Ricky, I get offended and I cry. I cry to the heavens. I can't be a hypocrite. So that wasn't my intent, and I should have held that in check. So that's on me. I hope you understand that sincere.
I'm not holding this against you. It's just that guy, he's on a lot too, and he makes references of how he loves you, but he says not in a gay way, and that's really crossing the line for the transgenders, gays, and lesbians. And we don't like that offensive kind of talk. And I think we've made our presence well known at the Capitol building that we're people too, Kevin.
Well, Ricky, I would agree with you, but what's wrong with saying in a heterosexual appropriate way?
There's something just not right about the way you guys say it, and there's a lot of laughing and chuckling back and forth, and it's just.
I think we're laughing at ourselves.
I don't know. I don't think you quite get the whole lifestyle,
I don't think I can.
Well, it does have its benefits.
Oh.
Yes.
And Such as.
If maybe you would poke your head around in our community a little bit, you might be able to see that there's things that are we do a lot better than you do.
Well, you could say that about everybody.
Well, you could say whatever you want, but all I can say is that I'm not holding this against you personally, but this Dobb guy is offensive, and I think that we need someone. We need equal time, someone to go against this guy.
Maybe that could be you.
I don't know if I'm the right person, but I'm just saying.
Somebody from the community.
Somebody, yes. As a matter of fact, I know a few people who are a little quicker on their toes than I am, and I think I'll have them call your producer.
Well, fair enough. Maybe we could have a gay-straight debate.
Yeah, that as long as it's not a joke.
No. Ricky, I have to run, but thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 853-580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, Sean Hannity coming up. Once again, folks, our life, our liberty, our way of thinking is at stake. So I appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. I'd love to be with you for many more years. Okay? Good day. God bless. And as always, keep the faith. Serving Emmett.